And you and I have been bought with a price, haven't we? More precious than silver and gold, we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are changed people, aren't we? Wow, what a celebration we had last Sunday. Amen? Well, as you notice, everybody's there for the resurrection, and it gets thin about 7 days later. Huh? Am I truly changed by Jesus Christ? I want us to go back to 1 Peter because he's really challenging us with this issue today. I'm going to make a difference as I go through life because I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed. And most of you have heard that a couple times in here along the years, along us going through in the journey. When I ask Jesus Christ into my life, I know three things are going to happen automatically. First of all, I've been forgiven. So that means I don't stand where I used to stand. I used to be condemned, now I've been released. Number two, I'm not going to live like I used to live because I don't have the life I used to have. And the third thing that happens to us, we just don't think like we used to think. Huh? And usually it comes, thoughts like this. I'm going to give you the candlesticks. Well, that's not what the world says. The world says take the candlesticks and beat the thief over the head. But Jesus says, no, go ahead and take the candlesticks. Oh, you gave me a black eye? That's no big deal. Church, life is tough. And it has some wacky surprises, to say the least, doesn't it, Gary? Moments that, bang, how did this happen? And here's what I've discovered. Last week we had one of those moments, but here's what I've discovered. God never leaves. Right. Now watch this. And God's purposes never change. Right. Hey, how many of y'all understand that? Not only does God never leave, God's purposes never change. Amen. No matter what we're doing, God's still doing the same thing. How many of y'all that brings a little hope into your step? No matter what's going on here, God's got the same thing going on. And I want us to begin to go through some things that lead us to a full and abundant life. And 1 Peter gives us some instructions today of how to keep on going through. Because watch this, if you just leave Jesus behind, you'll automatically make a difference. How many of y'all put a lot of energy into making a difference? Anybody got that as a desire? You want to make a difference? Or are y'all just going to take up some oxygen and then get out of here one day? Which one are you, huh? I mean, do you have a little urge to do that? To say, hey, you know what? I'd like to make some difference as I take a breath, as I do life. Well, let me let you in on something. I don't think we have to try to make a difference. I think we have to release Jesus in our lives, and that'll automatically make a difference. It's I can't make a difference. This is one of the conclusions I came to in humanity. It's a little bit disappointing when you've been raised in a high enlightenment educational series all your life, and it tells you that humanity one day will make a great change in the world. Well, I kind of bought that in my 20s, and I kind of recanted that in my 30s. The more I studied history, I went, you know what? We're not making that much difference. Basically, our technology allows us to do this. It allows us to destroy ourselves at a faster pace than normal. We have developed that. But there's something that's got to release us to say, you know what? I'm not what I used to be. Well, that's Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Peter. He's writing this letter, and here's why I love this letter. This letter's going into tough times. How many of y'all understand? Life is tough. Amen. I mean, there are tough moments in life. Any preacher that stands up and tells you, when you follow Jesus Christ, it's going to be like Disney, is a lying fool. And it is not in the Bible. Jesus did not have a Disney life. Last week we just celebrated the crucifixion. Honored a resurrection. You know, that's a tough time. We watched Jesus get lied about, trumped up, falsely accused, betrayed. He had it all, didn't he? And God says, I haven't changed no matter what the time. But look at here. What in the world are we supposed to do? Finally, all of you all live in harmony with one another. One of the key witnesses for us as believers is we need to harmonize. We're in this together. How many of you realize this? We're in this together. That means this, man. If one hurts, all hurt. If one, we do that okay. What do you think? We do that pretty good. I mean, if somebody's down and out, we'll jump on that and we'll be with them. We'll ride that storm for a little while. But watch this. This also means harmony. We do not do this well in American culture, celebrating successes. We don't celebrate successes of one another. Watch this. I don't see too many people celebrating somebody else's success. Now, I do see them doing this. As soon as they get successful, they're dogging everybody that got successful. That's the new popular trend. You notice? I was watching for just a few moments yesterday the NFL draft. Well, according to the commentators on the NFL draft, the top 10 players couldn't play at all. You know, every comment they got about is something negative. And I'm like, I'd like to see one of those little TV jockeys get on the field for 5 seconds. And they're talking about he's too slow, not fast enough, can't get out of his back pedal quick enough, can't do this, can't do that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, then why is he in the draft? Apparently this guy did better than everybody else on his peewee team. Because, you know, 12 years later, they're looking at him in the NFL. And everybody else is pushing a remote control button, fixing to watch him in the NFL. But some little squirrely-looking commentator, probably never played football in his whole life, is over here just beating up on all these people that are what? Successful. Here's what I'm showing you. It's just not normal anymore in our culture to celebrate somebody doing well. Okay? Well, guess what? God could care less. Please get this. This is even going on the internet today. God could care less. Does somebody hear what I say? God could care less about what our culture says. Somebody needs to hear that. You know, we've written a lot of books, even in the church world now, talking about the church connecting with the culture. But I want you to know, God could care less what the culture says. God is going to say what needs to be said. Amen. And he says, just live in harmony with one another. Chill out. Be together. Go through it. Live well. Harmony. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Now, how many of y'all know what it means to love as brothers? He said, not just love, but he describes it. Love as a brother. How many of y'all got in a fight with your brother? It's okay to fight. Just have a loving fight. What's the difference in fighting as a brother and fighting as an enemy? You still love your brother when you get done. And the thing about it is, I could fight with my brother, but you can't fight with my brother. You see what I'm talking about? My brother and I can go at it. I'm going to call him all kinds of things. I'm going to stay on him real hard. I'm going to come after him. But guess what? You come after my brother, and now you got two of us coming at him. You know, the church ought to be a little more like that. How many of y'all defend other churches? Boy, it got quiet there, didn't it? Or how many of y'all lean in when you hear somebody say, did you hear what's going on at such and such church? People will lean in because what do they want to hear? No, not just gossip. They hate this kind of gospel. Man, they had over a $400,000 offering Sunday. They had 25,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They go, oh. They didn't want to hear that. But if somebody says, man, did you hear, I think the pastor's leaving over there. Somebody called his car Friday night behind such and such place. Y'all are kidding. And we just lean into that stuff. Now watch this. And that's kind of the sermon day. I want to encourage us to quit leaning into stuff that is not going to be profitable and start going through stuff and leaving Jesus behind. Does that make sense? So what do you lean into and what do you stay with is very important in life. He said, man, love his brothers. How many of y'all got some good friends? How many of y'all got good friends? How many of y'all, those are on what hand? One. Okay, that's real. That's real. Let's keep it real. You know, if you got 25 good, close friends, you're on drugs. You ain't got 25 good, close friends. You're smoking dope with a bunch of people. That's what's going on there. You see what I'm talking about? I'm talking close friends come on one hand. I'm talking about brothers come on one hand. I'm talking about sisters come on one hand. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about people that will celebrate in the good times and stay with you in the bad times. That's a one-handed kind of deal. Amen? However, there is a God that never leaves no matter what. So we're going to love as brothers. That ought to be the church. We got to love one another. How many of y'all know that you realize you wear a mark because you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ? You were a martyr. I'm part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that ought to mean something. That means more than I just go to church on Sunday and hang out somewhere on Wednesday night. It means more than I just have worship, Bible study, relationships, prayer, and some act of service. It means that I'm connected to a group of people that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, "You're not getting rid of me." Just tell them, "You're not getting rid of me." I want you to hear, "You're not getting rid of me." So if you've had a fight this morning, you might as well just chill out. Huh? You're going to stay together forever. How many of y'all are in Jesus Christ? Okay, now watch. If you're in Jesus Christ, that's a forever deal. So tell them one more time, "You're not getting rid of me." But you might give them a little encouragement. "I will be better." Huh? "You're not getting rid of me, but I will be better." Amen? Yeah. I know that encourages Elizabeth that she will never, 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 never get rid of me. She says, some weeks it feels like that. Huh? Because we're connected together. And I want you to see, that's loving as dear brothers. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, and be what? Humble. Now, let's look at these three things that ought to go on in our attitude. First of all, love as brothers and sisters. This is a family relationship. Number two, compassion means this. I'm going to love and I'm going to hurt with my brother. I'm going to care enough to hurt with my brother and sister. I'm going to care enough to say, you know what? God loves him, and we're going to get through this together. We got to come together, we got to stay together, and we get through it together. Does that make sense? This is Christian community, and this is what it's about. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the most precious thing that goes on at Hillview Heights Church is we being together. Because I've noticed the building, it doesn't bother us. You know what? To be quite honest, in the summertime, if we could meet at the lake and do God's Talk every weekend, that would be my preference. You know, just throw open right there in the open air and just go at it in warm weather. If we lived in Southern California, we wouldn't even have a building in this church. We'd get us one of them big tents, man, and we'd just move all over the place and throw it. It works out there. Of course, it never gets 20 degrees. So, you know what I'm talking about? Probably need one. But it's not about what we build. It's about who we are. Does that make sense? Because let me tell you what, when you get to tough times, the name of your denomination, the building that you meet in the translation and preference of your Bible, that is absolutely not going to get you through. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? But there's something precious about knowing I got a bro or I got a sis that's going to stay with me to the end. Family's important. One of the reasons I'm somewhat balanced, and if I hadn't had a good family, I probably would have been more messed up than I am. But you know what? I knew this about my mom and dad. And not everybody gets this, but I got that. They would never leave. Man, that shapes you. Not one time did I have a thought when I was a kid about my mom and dad leaving. I knew they would always be there. Do you know how crucial that is when you're a kid? Especially when you're 4 years old. And when you're 4 years old and it's 9:30 at night, that's a tough moment. Because there are monsters and they are real. For me, they were very real. I had a creative imagination. Elizabeth says I still do. And there was stuff under my bed. But guess what I knew? Even when I had stuff under my bed, things that caused me fear, guess what I knew? My mom and dad weren't what? They weren't leaving. That's significant. Now watch this. As we come together, one of the things we need to be reminded of is this. What does the resurrection really tell us? What does it scream out to us in humanity? What does it say over and over again? And you got to hold on to this when you get to tough times. Jesus says, "I'm not what?" And because I'm not leaving, guess what? You can be brothers. You can be sympathetic. You can be compassionate. And you can be this, humble. No, God's got something greater going on in you than you can get going on. That's humility. I would rather have the power of God move through this congregation than put on a show. You see the difference? There's the thing. I would rather be touched by God than to be elevated by humankind. Amen. Now, so you got to come to that conclusion. Now, you really get free. You really get free. If you don't have to win the trophy anymore, how much freedom is that in your life? Guess what I found? And I don't want to dog anybody that's won trophies, because if you've won trophies, I honor you for being successful in that moment. However, that must just be a moment, because I've been to yard sales and those trophies go for 25 cents. Jamie Ward said, And you got one for what? Fastest 100-yard dash?
Absolutely.
People don't realize that one time you weighed 130 pounds in high school, didn't you?
Two and of
me
ago.
Huh? Jamie said, "In that way, and he's twice as good as he used to be." What do you think about that? See, celebrate our what? Successes. Look at this. Nobody's calling you skinny kid anymore, are they, Jamie? There you go. Life advances, and we can get what? Through. Eleanor, has it been easier to get through a difficult situation because you did have a few brothers and sisters? I look at Miss Taos. She's been a real sister to you. You know it. I mean, I'm not talking a church friend or a church member. You know, Eleanor's husband, he had a little surgery. Like, they put a whole set of new lungs in him. You know, George, our deacon. And man, she went through that journey, and Shelly was with her the whole time. That's called sisterhood. How many of you all got somebody when the journey gets tough, somebody's going to be there to go through it with you? Okay, now that's important, because watch, this is the church's mission. We got to be Jesus on the scene. That's our call, really, is to be Jesus on the scene. Jesus will come out of you, and when we stay together, we'll be Jesus on the scene. Which leads to this. Guess what? We got to live. We got to live in harmony. We got to live with compassion. We got to live with sympathy. And then guess what? We got to act different than the world does, because we're not what we used to be. Is that cool? We're just not what we used to be. You ready? Check this out. So here's what we do now. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. How many of you all, if we could step that up at Hillview, do you think this would be a different community?
Amen.
Yeah, I don't think we're low there. I just don't think we're all we can be there.
That's right.
What do you think? Huh? What do you think? Hillview, I really want us to step into this truth. If we have to just stay on this today, that's enough truth for today. But you know what? I really do believe we got to quit doing this. How many of y'all are getting better at least? I've gotten better. I can celebrate this. I've gotten better. I remember when I first became your pastor, when another church would trash us and say something about us, man, I immediately broke out in kung fu fighting. Spiritual kung fu fighting. You know, y'all remember the song, don't you? Everybody was kung fu fighting. And I I'm about 26 or 27, and somebody say, "Well, that church over there's just got a bunch of lowlifes in it." And now I've been here so long. Guess what? The same people I was fighting with are still saying the same things. And guess what? Nothing stopped what God was doing. And I had to realize, I'm not going to fight my way through life. How many of y'all finally realized that?
Yes.
I mean, we all got our mechanism. Some of y'all going to complain your way through life. How many of y'all realize, how many of y'all, I love 8 o'clock because we're all old enough to just know it don't work no more.
Amen.
You know, 11 o'clock, if I talk about don't do insult for insult, they're looking at me going, "Oh, bull." They're looking at me, "Pastor, that's stupid, man. I'm going to take somebody's head off." You know, all the young people over here going, "Yeah, that's right. I'm going to crack them. Yeah, 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 yeah." So look, y'all, we are all old enough. Y'all are going, "You're right." How many of y'all thought of some person you've been in a fight with 15, 20 years ago, and they ain't changed a bit since that fight? I got pastor friends of mine, still the same hard-headed dudes, sitting in the same church with the same 50 members, doing the same thing they did 25 years ago, won't change a thing, and argue with me head to head that it's working. So guess what I figured out? It's not my job to change them, but it is my job to bless them. And see, before, I'd rather fight them. And I just to be quite honest, I like to fight. How many of y'all like to fight? 4 or 5 of you? How many of y'all? Oh, thank you, Richard, for joining in with the rest of us sinners. Sorry, Richard, we may be fighters, but there's a lot of liars in the house, too. The Bible said they'd go to hell with the fighters, so we'll just keep on. See, some of y'all church folk, y'all think if y'all just sit there quiet, nobody's going to figure out you're a sinner. Wrong. You know, we all got our stuff, amen. Some of y'all that are real quiet and real nice and real polite, y'all are the nastiest little things that exist. Yeah, I know what you do. When y'all get invited, y'all just go like this. "How you doing?" "Fine." But we're not to be insulters. I mean, I just want to start there. First of all, you know, it's how we live. It counts. Live in harmony. Live in compassion. Live in humility. How we speak counts. Speak blessing. Can you imagine if Hillview just became like this incredible blessing place? What? Gosh. Come to Hillview and get a blessing. Don't get an insult, get a blessing. I do believe in this. I believe in this. I believe in encouragement is important. I still think it's a real deal. I think when we encourage each other, we do things. I remember, I don't like language classes. I just never have liked language classes because you spell in there. And so, and y'all may not get this, but I wasn't highly engaged in academics. Was I, Donna? And so when I went to seminary, this is graduate school. This was kind of a shocker for my life. You know what I'm talking about, Nathan? They're serious. But I remember one professor, and he was an encourager. And I did better in his class than any class I'd ever done. And it was Greek. It was Greek. And let me tell you what this guy did. He said, gentlemen, this is your work assignment for today. I need you to study this and this and this. And he said, and I want to thank you for your hard work and your dedication to learning this language so that you can articulate the scripture throughout your ministry career in a very intelligible way, in a deeper way than you could. And I want to thank you for your hard work in making the kingdom better. He would say it every day in class. For the first time in my life, I had flashcards, and I'm learning Greek words. And as we're commuting back and forth from Bowling Green to Louisville, I'm with my commuting buddy, and we're going over our Greek. And I made a really good grade in that class. It was amazing. I found that if you study for classes, you make better grades. But you know why I studied for the class is because he became a what? I'd never had a professor that thanked the students for working. Eddie Broadhead. See, I haven't forgotten his name. Dr. Broadhead would go, thank you for working so hard. And at the end of class, he would go, gentlemen and ladies. We had ladies up there too. This was Southern Seminary old days when women could still be in ministry. And he said, thank you again for your hard work today. Everybody's progressed. I don't know about you, but I like progressing. How many of y'all like progressing? How many of y'all let somebody know they got better that day? Man, especially if you're a parent, you need to do that. You know, tell your kids you're getting what? How many of y'all tell your kids they're getting better? I mean, don't lie to them, but I mean, tell them when they do. You know what I'm talking about? I did this the other day. So many of you have adolescent children, and you all know how that goes. We're in that ride together, you know. They don't talk to you a whole lot. I have found that grunting is more the language of an adolescent male. And so since I was adolescent male, I get that, you know. And I can make that happen. It's kind of like two deers out in the woods, you know. They kind of, you know, I can look back at Blake and go, we're on. His mom doesn't get it, though. And I was kind of laughing even yesterday. They were kind of going back and forth at each other. And Elizabeth says, well, what's the matter with him? I said, honey, you do me same way. I said, this is just male communication. She said, what do y'all act like that for? I said, we don't like questions. And we do not like them. Amen, Joe? Look at Joe. He's getting women. Now, don't get in trouble, Joe. You pinned in there by three women that'll tap your head. It won't give you a blessing. But watch this. Watch this. Look at here. And we especially don't like questions when they come in a series. How many of you men realize that? I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I'm on it. And so, Tim, You pray, Reverend Holmes, that I'm going to get a blessing when I go here, all right? Because I'm fixing to get a hold, huh? How many of you men like it? You start getting a series? One question leads to another question, it leads to another question. And then what happens? See, we men know deep down inside women, y'all are smarter than us. We picked up on that a long time ago when we were in the second grade and we go, we ain't got a pencil. And y'all handed us one. We knew you were up to something. Well, guess what we know? If we can give a short answer without much thought, we are not going to reveal ourselves. And we become very panicked when we get in the question series because we can't remember what the first question was and how we tied it to the second question. And this starts messing with us. You see what I'm saying? So we react with this, leave me alone. Or this famous line, Why do you have so many questions? Everything is what? Fine. We want to move on through. We got to communicate. Blessings are very important. And our tongue, watch this, is the instrument of the blessing. See, we got to live with one another and we got to speak well of one another. And I want to encourage us to this, man. This is evidence of the resurrection. We got to speak good things, true things, powerful things, living things. You and I have life on our tongues if we would just speak it into other people. I believe this. Look what he said. He said, now, inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. How many of y'all have been in trouble at least a week of your life because you said something you wish you hadn't said? Barry? Not you. Jerry?
Yesterday.
Did Rhonda let you know about it? She's in a series of questions and you got in trouble, didn't you? Yeah. Well, you listen, Hemi, this will help you. Blessing right here. Look at here. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Let me tell you something right here. God will judge us when we speak without knowledge of this situation. Be very careful with this, folks. It is over and over and over again in the Bible, and we ignore it. It's mentioned too many times to not be serious, okay? If you don't know about it, and if you don't know the person, and if you don't know the reality of the situation, and if you don't hold the truth, the proverb says, a fool speaketh much. If you don't know, then what's your best line? Silence and honesty. Let me help you. This ought to come out of our tongues. Sometimes silence, always honesty. I get asked sometimes by a lot of people. They go, well, do you know so-and-so? No, I do not know them. Or if I know them, they'll go, well, you know, they've done this to me. And I said, well, really? I said, that has not been my experience with that person. See, that's called speaking what? Truth. Now, I'm not questioning that they had a bad experience, but I'm not going to sit there and agree when it's not true. Now, I know what a lot of us do in the church. We think silence is okay. Silence is agreement to evil many times.
That's right.
So I've not found that to be true. Make sense? Did you know so-and-so did this? No, I have no evidence of so-and-so doing what? To my knowledge, how many of y'all get calls on job references all the time? Here's the way I always start. My experience, and to my knowledge, this has been my experience. Now, is that the truth? That's the truth. That's been my experience. I don't know what they've been like outside of me, but I know this has been my experience with that person. Speak blessing and speak truth. Truth leads to freedom always. Truth leads to freedom always. Deception will always bury you in darkness. Think about it. Where do addictions occur? What's the root of an addiction? It's really not the activity itself. It's what? The deception. This is not hurting me. How many of y'all have ever been addicted to something, but you got to get to, this is not hurting me. So you got to get deceived before you get addicted. God breaks the deception. One of the ways to stay out of deception is to speak truth. So he said, keep your lips away from what? Deceitfulness and evil. And look what he says. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Watch this. This ought to be the church. We don't only state problems, we become the solution. What peace is we want to make things better. How many of y'all got that? That ought to be the desire in our lives, to make things what? We're peace people. Watch this. Yeah, let me just give you an example. I always use the restaurant because that's where we're going shortly, you know. Well, a little longer for y'all than we'll be at 11 o'clock. But shortly, you're going to go where? You'll probably go eat somewhere. Well, guess what? We ought to be the people of peace coming to the restaurant. But people ought to see that, hey, those folk, they have a great time. They're free. They bring peace. Bring peace. In fact, in the ancient church, in the older church, always when you concluded a service, some high church forms still use this today, you always say, and peace be what? With you. And if you're a good Lutheran or a good Catholic, you answer back, or a good United Methodist, you answer back with what? And also with you. I think we need to get that back. I think that's a good thing. I think we need to be reminded. Peace be with you. You know, Susan, you need to remind Randall when he goes out the door. Peace be with you, Randall. And however you disturbed him that day, you need to know that your desire was peace. See what I'm saying? Peace be what? With you. Does that change everything? It reminds us that the peace is within us. The peace of God is within us. And what are we supposed to do with it? Get it on what? Others. I'm a peace seeker, not a troublemaker. Peace only comes from Jesus. You're not going to get anywhere else. Now, you can get conning from places, but I'm talking about peace only comes from Jesus. Huh? Amen? It is well with my... comes from who? Because there's no other way to make my soul well. See, I can't get my soul well unless I get Jesus in my soul. It is well with my soul. Peace seeker. So let's look. We got to live well. We got to speak well. And then guess what? Guess what? You got to desire the good things. How many of y'all desire good things? Can I just make a quick observation? I'm going to anyway, but a quick observation. I don't think we desire good things anymore. What do you think? I think that's changed. I don't know. Help me out. Talk to me a minute. How many of y'all feel like that's changed? It bothers me because I think we've crushed the hopes of the next generation sometimes. I mean, when I was, 18 and 20, man, I had all kinds of ambitions, desires. I was in a college, a university full of people that had ambitions and desires. And now I talk to young people and they just want to exist. Of course, I had a job when I was 13, too, and that's unheard of today. Just exist. Just want to get through. Just want to hang in there. But getting through is not surviving. It's making a difference. Did somebody hear that? Getting through is not just surviving the experience. It's making a difference. How many of y'all work with people that are just getting through? Yeah, how many of y'all got a few of those? How many of y'all hired a few of those? Drive me crazy. When I do an interview and the first time somebody asks me how little they got to do to keep the job, that grates my nerves. You know why? It's unbiblical. Jesus didn't look from the cross, Chuck, and say, "What little do I got to do to save the souls of these humans?" He said, "If I got to do all that, it's worth the price." And I think the church has got to get a little attitude, not how little do I got to do to get by, but what can I do to make a difference is a big difference in living. Right. Make sense? So he goes on and he says, do this. Now, remember this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. I believe that. When you're in Jesus Christ, God hears you. He hears you when you're not in Jesus Christ, but he's attentive when you want to get in the flow. Amen. Sometimes people go, "I feel like I'm in a dry spell in my spiritual life." What it is, you're probably in a rebellious moment. You're not listening to God. Watch this. How many of y'all find when you're in a dry spell, you're not wanting to get along with others, and you're speaking deceitful things off your lips? That'll dry up your oasis really quick. Because you cease being in the flow and start just being in an existence mode. Big difference. Big difference. And he goes on and says this. Look at here. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I just wanted you to hear that. God has mercy on those who do evil, but he doesn't support the evil. Watch this. Was God in the priest that was with that thief? Absolutely. Instead of condemning the thief, he wanted to, what? Recreate the thief. God's purpose is to always recreate the situation with grace. But God does not accept evil. But God will use grace to turn evil. Does that make sense? How many of y'all get that? Grace is more powerful than evil. Somebody say, "Yeah, I get that." See what I said? How many of y'all were going, "Man, he ought to take that candlestick and beat that dude to death for hitting him"? How many of y'all had that inside? Come on. Huh? Mark Williams said a little bit. Well, that's better. A few years ago, it would have been a whole lot, Mark. So, hey, we're making progress, buddy. What about you, Merle? Were you up on that, or did you want to hit him? Huh? You'd have given it to him? You'd have hit him. Lisa, you still got more work to do. Huh? I mean, y'all felt like a little bit like, man, that dude's getting off the hook. Huh? Well, maybe instead of getting off the hook, that guy's really getting a new life. Let me ask you a question. To the priest, what did he really say? Your life is more valuable than my silver. Can you imagine living in a church where the life of Jesus was more precious than our silver? Can you imagine really living with such freedom that what we have acquired is not as significant as what is moving through us in spirit? Now that is freedom. That's not what I have, but it is where I'm going that blesses my life. And he gives us this question. Let me ask you a question. If you lived in, y'all hear the words I'm talking about? Surrendered freedom. Jesus is it, and I'm going to stay in Jesus. Because you know what? Here's what I find. When it comes time to die, if all you got is candlesticks, you're not going very far. I'm going to be really honest with you. I want to tell you all the truth. How many of y'all think that you're going to get credit points for all the successful moments you had here on earth when you die? I mean, I think there's people that believe that. They're going to show their American Express card. Like, that's going to impress God. See, here's the thing. One day I just sat out in a boat and I thought about, how do you impress God? What's he going to be impressed about? Lord, I caught a big fish. I made the fish. I mean, how do you impress God? Well, Lord, we built a rocket and we went up to another universe. He goes, I made that one too. Well, God, what can I do that you would really be impressed with? And God's going to say, nothing. But let me tell you what I'd really like for you to do. I'd like for you to fall deeply in love with me so that I can show you how impressive I am and you can flow in what you were intended to be. Now, God gets all into that. Amen. Not when we perform for Him, but when we love Him. Amen? God wants us to just fall madly in love with Him, and to do that eliminates this. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? How many of y'all have ever messed up doing good? Did it still turn out all right? How many of y'all have ever messed up doing good? It's a long time ago, but one time I bought Elizabeth an outfit and it wasn't the right size. Remember that, Elizabeth? Yeah. I didn't get in trouble. Why? Huh? It was the first time I'd ever had a thought like that, so she was pretty impressed that I had a what? I mean, it's the first time I didn't buy her like a water ski or something like that. For several years, birthday presents, I'd get her a new ski rope. I took care of this woman. And then things started changing. I'd get her something she wanted. What happened? My desire changed from... Any of you men ever done that? Used a celebrative opportunity to kind of get like a mutual gift. I figure it's more... The economy's better there. This is something everybody can use. You know? Yeah, so watch this. Watch it. I'm going to show you. It was the wrong size. It's the wrong size. By the way, gentlemen, if you're going to err on size... Yeah. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, don't get a big one. I never bought women's clothes. I didn't know, you know. And finally I realized that's what those clerks in the store are for. They're not there to help women. They're there to help men who are buying some of their wives. And next time I went in, I said, you know my wife? Yeah. She said, this is the size she wears. I said, good. Because I just picked out something that looked pretty good and just bring it home. You know, kind of look at it and say, yeah, that'll work. Doesn't work that way. But my desire was to what? To bless my wife. So even though the actual product, the situation, the happening was incorrect, the desire was greater than the experience. Wow. Church, if we desire to do the good things of God, even where we mess up, there will be great blessing. When you desire to do good, because here's what happens when you desire to do good. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Isn't that great? I find a lot of freedom with this. You put me in jail for doing good, I'm going to come out on top. If you don't believe me, ask the Apostle Paul. They locked him in jail. They chained him up in jail for preaching the gospel. And in the jail cell, angels, attended to him. And the jail shook with the glory of God. And the jail was rattled by the power of God because they had a good man in a confining situation and God was going to bring him out. And what happened? The chains broke off, the doors opened up, and the jailer panicked. He said, does that still happen today? Yes, it does. It does. If our desire is to what? Do good. And so what's the bottom line? Don't fear what they fear. The world's going to fear a lot of things. They fear not being successful. They fear not being recognized. They fear not being significant. They fear, they fear, they fear. Why in the world do you think the antidepressant pharmaceutical business is a multi-billion dollar business? Where do you think anxiety comes from? Fear. Fear. Its root is fear. What enemy do you think we have that has like the magic fear weapon? Satan, that's his whole gig. Fear this, fear this, fear this. How many of y'all fear? We fear everything in our culture. What's this? We fear having kids. Then we fear our kids graduating. Then we fear being young. Then we fear being old. We fear what? What's the ultimate fear? Dying. Well, hold on. If our sins have been forgiven, our eternity is secure, the promise of heaven is absolute, you absolutely know you're going to heaven because Jesus Christ died on a cross, has risen from a grave, and forgiven you of your sins, you know Jesus to be the way into heaven, can you tell me why are you fearful? It's because probably we hadn't stepped into living in harmony with one another all the way, speaking blessing on our lips, and desiring the good things of God. Don't fear what they fear. They ought to fear death. Without Jesus Christ, you ought to be scared. Here's why. Thank you, Trey. Here's why. Here's why. You're going to take a breath for 80, 90 years, 70 years, 40 years, 30 years, whatever. And then guess what? You're going to die and spend the rest of your life in hell forever and ever. If that was my verdict, let me tell you what. Bring on the Prozac. Give me a little lithium kick on the side and chill me out. Because I don't have anything to look forward to. But when I know that the moment I take my last breath is my first breath into heaven, into the glory of God, into a place that is unimaginable to me, then I can endure what I've got to hang on to here on earth. Amen? Huh? Stay in there. Go through there. And here's what you'll find. The blessing is in the going. Dr. Blevins, I have never seen anybody get blessed sitting still. What do you think, Key? Ain't in there, buddy. The blessing's in the going. If you're going to see success spiritually, you got to go through there. And here's what he says. Don't fear what they fear. And do not be frightened. Why? God never leaves. Father, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for not leaving. Thank you for staying. Thank you for telling us that we have more worth than the candlesticks. That we will never take anything away from you, but you can give us all things. God, teach us well. Amen. 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 If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you today, you're worth more than a couple candlesticks. You're worth more than silver and gold, and Jesus Christ would love to come into your life. You cannot live, you cannot speak blessing, and you will always be frightened unless you let Jesus Christ into your life. And some of you need to do that. You need to just simply say this, Lord, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? Amen. What happened to the robber? He got what? What happened to the thief? He got what? Hello, he got what? Caught. How many of y'all been caught yet? Well, let this catch you. Here's what sin is. It's a breach of the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all have kept all the Ten Commandments? If not, you're going to hell. That's how good everybody is. So, well, I'm a good person, right? You've never coveted. Never, never, ever coveted since you took a breath. Yeah, right. I did it first thing this morning. I walked in the parking lot. I saw some cool little sports car sitting out there in the parking lot. It caught my eye. Did you do the same thing, Merlin? You sinner. Just like me. As goes the pastor, as go the deacons, right? I looked. I said, man, that's a cool little car. Then guess what my next thought was?
I want it.
Elizabeth, it looked good in one of those. I wanted to bless her. Of course, with me driving it, she'd look good in it. See what I'm saying? Huh? Coveting. Have no other gods before you. Don't, you know, we break the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Ten Commandments. We need to be forgiven. And God says, I want to forgive you in a big way. So I want you to stand right now. And there are going to be people that come to know Jesus today. And guess what? I think we need to come together as a church and pray today. You know what? I want to become these things we talked about this morning. Lord, help us become them. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, right now, there's some people that probably need to ask you into their life. So right now, just tell Him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I'm not where I need to be, but I want to be with you. And God, I know you want to be with me. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross for me and have risen from the grave. Come into my life, Lord. See what happens. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need to speak blessing. I need to be a blessing. I need to be just awakened in Jesus Christ. So right now, this altar's open. If you need to be baptized, you want to talk about that, you come on and be baptized. And we got a great day today. Guess what? 11 o'clock service, we're seeing 11 people baptized at 11. It's an 11 on 11 Sunday. Amen. Amen. So y'all come, this altar's open. Guess what? Somebody here has connected with Jesus, and you just need to come talk to us about that, because we'd love to see you get baptized. We don't want anybody to go to hell from Bowling Green. That's our mission. We're working at it. And so don't be one of them, okay? Come right now in the name of Jesus and be blessed, all right? Come on. Come on.